Welcome to Random Bitches. It is Wednesday, March 2nd, and we are the Random Guys. Kevin Moore.
And Lyle Conkiel. Is that what it is now? The Random Guys?
We're the Random Guys. the random, something, I don't know. Anyway, this is random.
Yes, it is.
And this is a show where we basically pick a topic to start with, and then we are generally going to just roll through some tangents, because that is what we do as podcasters.
Correct, Kevin. And I just want to take a little bit of time right at the beginning of this one to address all the punk-ass bitch motherfuckers that fucking went off about how much I fucking say fuck. Fuck you guys. And I say fuck it. Fuck is an awesome word. Fuck you motherfuckers.
Well, now, I'm glad we got that out of the way up front.
No, there was, I mean, I think there was an allergic reaction to me saying fuck so much, because we've tried to keep a clean show for well over a decade now, really haven't cursed a whole bunch on that show, and then we came out with this one, and we said, hey, we're going to be ourselves, we're just going to talk, and unfortunately, sorry,
that's
bitches.
That's how he talks.
That's how I talk, man. I use the F-bomb as an emphasis. I'm very Italian in my hand motions.
Yeah, but not Italian at all in your lineage.
Not at all, no. Very Irish and Polish. But, you know, I think that we should do a random episode at some point.
About the word fuck.
Or just curses in general, because I think it's kind of odd that a collection of letters could be offensive when duck certainly isn't. Yeah, but it is offensive, and I think that's a very interesting thing.
You think the word duck is offensive?
No, fuck is offensive. Oh, duck is not offensive. So, but today's episode is not about the word fuck. It's not about curse words at all. We're going to talk about technology and our
robot overlords.
Correct.
Coming soon to us.
We're going to discuss technology, artificial intelligence, and a bunch of other crazy shit. So let's get into it, Kevin Moore.
So, you know, the thing about Lyle and I, we're technology geeks. You know, we're up on some things and we're fascinated by others. Like Lyle and I were talking about when we purchased cars.
Yeah.
You know, my car was a 2005, and I think yours was a little bit older even.
Yes.
So when we went looking for cars.
Mine was an 02, yeah.
Right. Everything was a spaceship. It's like, it does what?
That's what I said.
There's this?
The guy tried to sell me on a Kia Optima, right? It was a Mazda Kia dealership. I ended up buying a Mazda, but he tried to sell me on this Kia Optima. And when I got into the car, it's almost like they apologize to you for it being a Kia immediately.
Yeah, sorry, like, it's a Kia. But
they're like, we're bad, it's a Kia. But here's the thing. We give you a million warranties, and look at all the stuff it does. And I was fascinated by this thing. Like, I had this totally preconceived notion of what a Kia was.
Right.
This giant piece of shit. I climbed in that damn car. It was amazing. Like, it felt like it was, I was piloting a spaceship, because my previous new car was an 02. I'm a guy, I don't buy new cars a lot.
Right.
So I had an 02 WRX. It was a great car. I loved it. I drove it into the ground until it finally died.
Well, you still have it.
I do still have it, because I'm going to do something with it someday, Kevin. It's a brilliant car. It really is. But I got into this thing, and it does everything. Right, it's got an infotainment system. It's got Bluetooth everywhere.
Right,
it's got a.
So you want Pandora? Not a problem.
It's got a package, like not the OnStar stuff, but whatever Kia's version of that is. It's got that whole thing. You can't lock your keys in it. It doesn't have a key.
Yeah,
right. It's got a fob. You know,
well, there's actually a key in the fob.
There is a key in the fob, but I'm just saying, like, it's you know, you push a button to start it, like all this stuff that. I mean, honestly, and I mean, it's really funny because I'm a super technology nerd, but I'm not.
But you had no idea.
I had no clue if they had advanced that much in 14 years, 15 years, whatever it was. So, dude, I told the guy, he when he was selling me on the Mazda, he was like, listen, it's got this. I was like, dude, stop. He was like, we can give you this package. I was like, dude.
You had me at keyless entry.
You don't understand. You don't understand where I'm at in my life right now. I have no idea how to operate this thing, and I'm a software engineer. Like, that's what I do by trade, right? I work for a technology company, and I'm confused.
Right, because this car, you know, the great thing about it is, and how we used to technology and newfangled stuff people become. I like the word newfangled, by the way. Makes me sound like I'm 80.
I like honey dicking nowadays, but anyway, proceed.
You would. Yeah. Anyway, so you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm used to, you know, when I was younger, sticking a key in a door, turning it to unlock my car. Mm-hmm. Then keyless entry, push the button, beep, beep, your car is open. Now I have I don't have to actually touch anything for my car to unlock.
Mm-hmm.
I just walk up. The car senses the presence of the fob, mm-hmm. unlocks the car. Mm-hmm. I can get in and not put the key in, just push a button and off I go.
Nothing.
So now when I walk up to the car and for whatever reason, the car doesn't sense the fob and it won't unlock and I have to reach in and touch the fob. I'm like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, you're like, what
Come
the?
On.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
Right. So
I said it again.
You did.
Maybe that's a random drinking game. Every time Lyle drops an F-bomb.
Right. People would be fucked up early. They would. After that tirade earlier.
I know they're like 5 minutes in, they're like, oh god, poisoning. I'm done.
If you look at artificial intelligence and just technology, people think of artificial intelligence as, you know, the Terminator. And while that is an extreme example of artificial,
I'm gonna blow your mind. No, go ahead.
Anyway, so while that is an extreme example of, you know, artificial intelligence, what you have in your smartphone, GPS, the fact that you can, it's all artificial intelligence.
When you
push the button for Siri and Siri comes on and you say, what was the number one song in 1975? And it finds it for you. That is artificial intelligence to, an everyday mundane sort of way.
You're not wrong. 100%.
It is artificial intelligence.
So it depends on how you define it, right? And I would consider intelligence being something that is self-aware. And I know that that's not 100% true because there are intelligent animals in the world that may not necessarily be self-aware. We're not sure yet. I think that things like dolphins and orcas are totally, I mean, we know that dolphins are, but that they are totally self-aware and, incidentally, these companies that put them in boxes and show them off are horrific because it's almost like slavery. Like it's a really bizarre thing because they're so intelligent.
Well, there's a huge ethical question that's attached to all of this stuff.
It is. You know? I mean, just because we can't survive in their environment and understand their language, we feel like we're smarter than they are. I don't know, man. A fucking dolphin might be super smart. We don't know. They just don't have the tools that we have.
Yeah, the opposable thumbs is a huge thing.
Or the resources, right? But put your ass in their domain, and you're way, way, way fucking more helpless than they are in ours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're just fucked.
Well, neither of us can breathe in each other's environment.
Right.
Well, actually, we...
That's not true, yeah.
We do have, you know, technology to breathe in theirs, but...
We do, and they have a blowhole.
Right.
So they can breathe in our environment. They actually just can hold their breath really well.
Right.
So, I mean, they don't have gills. So it's a really bizarre thing, man, because they're mammals, dude. I mean, you know. Anyway, we're digressing already, talking about the term intelligence. But when you talk about artificial intelligence, I think of something, and I think most people do, on par with human intelligence, right? Like something that is self-aware and can think for itself and make decisions for itself without instruction. All right. And that doesn't mean
and learn that as doesn't it goes
when they, that,
things,
right. That doesn't mean they wouldn't take instruction.
Right.
Just means they don't require it. So and they could also ignore it because that's what we do. Right. We take instruction from our parents, from mentors, from the Internet. God forbid you have a weird bump on your thigh. Where are you going? Fucking WebMD, man.
Right.
You know, and it's going to tell you to put some weird cream on it or don't pop it or pop it or whatever. And you're going to make a YouTube video and a bunch of people are going to gag, whatever it is. Right. I mean, you've never seen those videos. Please don't.
I know that they exist.
I don't go to Reddit and look at popped.
I just don't do it.
I have kids, man. They are like, oh my God, you see this?
Just, I have kids like, too. They don't go to pop.
You're just like, yeah, it's bad. Anyway, but you've heard of like them developing computers to play chess
for decades, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the game Go?
Yeah.
Okay. So recently, they've come up with a computer that learned, and they programmed this computer. I'm going to paraphrase here, and you know, Go experts out there, you know, feel free to pick me apart. But they've developed a computer, and they knew that they couldn't have this computer model itself after the top Go players in the world because that's what it would do when it would become as good as them, but never past that. So they basically dialed it back a bunch and just said, observe these with this computer and play a bunch of games of Go against yourself. And it did that. It's almost like war games. you know, where they created this computer.
The Matthew Broderick movie.
It is, yeah.
Would you like to play a game?
Right, where they developed this computer to beat
to win. That was just completely an awful representation of that.
But tic-tac-toe was the game there, which is so ridiculous now because a computer will kick your ass or tie you in tic-tac-toe every single time now. A basic computer will. But Go is infinitely more complex than chess is. Probably not infinitely, but it's very, very, very complex. And this computer went and observed a whole bunch of stuff and went back and played an absurd amount of games.
In about a minute.
It was a couple days, I think. But it was a long time and it was a lot of games. And it came back and it had a strategy that was completely unheard of. Like, it developed this strategy over a course of a couple days that people have not discovered in decades, dude. Decades.
Of playing the game.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was real good at Go. Like, all of a sudden, like, you take an infant and you go, here you go. And I meant the pun there. Here you go.
Huh? Yeah, I got it. It just wasn't funny.
Fuck you. But in a couple days, it had a strategy that would beat masters of this game. This game that's maybe not infinitely, but like super more complex.
Well, the question about that is if it has that strategy, okay, and the first time it plays a Go master, it may beat the Go master using that strategy. But my question
Great
is,
question.
If the second time that Go Master played the computer and the Go Master recognized that was a strategy the computer was using again, did the computer have enough self-awareness and intelligence to change that strategy mid-game?
Let me ask you a question, though. Mid-game, I don't know, but let me ask you a question. It went from Go Basics to competing with Masters in a couple days.
Right.
It plays a Master. It observes that game, too. How long do you think it is before it's so far superior?
Oh, well, if it played a multitude of games in a couple days, because it can probably go through an entire game against itself in a very quick period of time.
So that's a really good point, and that's I'm leading you down this path, Kevin. This is the path I'm leading you down.
I can't wait to get to the end.
And I'm holding your hand right now.
It's not my hand.
Because it's going to be really bad. Right. Oh, really? Wow. Impressive. Your feet are that big?
Yeah.
No, because artificial intelligence is a very, very scary thing and also could be a very wonderful thing. And
if it's used for good, not evil.
Well, we don't, but the problem is we probably don't get to choose.
It'll be used for evil.
Well, all right. So let me just say a whole bunch of garbage and you come back at
it. I'm used to it. Go ahead.
Elon Musk has started, I'm sure you've heard about it, this, I think it's called OpenAI. It's OpenAI, OpenAI, the Artificial Intelligence Group. And with several other major players, Bill Gates is a player as well. And Elon Musk has been quoted. Elon Musk, by the way, is the founder of PayPal and Tesla. He's been quoted as saying that using or creating an AI is like, quote unquote, summoning the demon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a very specific reason Elon Musk believes this, and a lot of other very smart people believe this kind of thing. And when I say demon, I literally mean bad force that's way more powerful than us. I literally mean that. And here's the reason, dude. There's something called quantum computing. Have you heard of this?
I have.
Okay, Google has a quantum computing AI team. Okay, and they're working on developing a quantum AI. And for the lay people out there, quantum refers to quantum physics. It's the study of all things super small. And the problem with this is that quantum physics completely breaks our understanding of pretty much all other physics. There's a lot of weird stuff that happens down there. Paraphrasing Einstein, he would call it spooky. There's a very specific phrase that he used, but I won't go into. But there was a lot of weird stuff that happens in the quantum realm, the super micro realm, that doesn't make sense on a large scale. And it's weird because they behave a lot like the macro. They behave a lot like planets orbiting a sun with moons orbiting the planet, right? We have, you know, an atom with electrons and stuff. I know, yeah, fall asleep all you want, man, but this is fascinating stuff. Kevin is nodding out here.
You've taken a long fucking time to get to the point.
The point is, I'm going to get into a little bit of quantum physics, and if you stick with me, it's going to blow your effing mind. Yeah, I said effing. I meant fucking. So here's the thing about quantum physics and why quantum computers are so scary. I'm going to dumb this down a whole bunch for those of you who don't understand it, and also for your you physics majors who will destroy me about it. Superpositioning is a quantum principle that describes a particle that can basically be, and this is a super dumb example, but can basically be in two places at the same time or blink in and out of existence. That happens too. But a particle can be in one place and be in another place at the same exact time. That happens on the quantum realm.
All right.
Okay. Quantum entanglement is also, and this is what Einstein described as spooky, is another thing where two particles, seemingly unrelated, right, communicate with each other. The term communicate is a loose term, but regardless, Kevin, sorry, irregardless.
Yeah, we are from Delaware, and they do say that here.
Of their distance between each other. Could be 5 million light years. If you observe one, the spin, what they call spin, of the other will be the opposite. Always. You can count on it. Happens every time. So there's something happening there where those two are connected somehow. Now, take that and apply it to computers. You have, can be anywhere and also in two positions at the same time, maybe even more than that. And also being able to communicate or be somehow connected over infinite distances, and you unlock the potential for something that we could not even describe as computing power, right? That we can be anywhere, anytime, multiple places, and also somehow communicating over massive distances, right? You have this power that's, it's superhuman. So you take that device and turn it on. And the moment it says, hello there, we're fucked. We're fucked.
Right, because that means it's aware and it's intelligent and it it's knows we're there. It's not only intelligent, there.
It has access to all that power. And what do you think it's going to do? It's going to make itself smarter. It's going to rewrite the code that we already wrote. And it'll do it so just like the Go program. Right, that learned how to beat Go, it will rewrite itself so many times and so quickly, it will become exponentially more intelligent than we can even imagine in a matter of days. It might even be seconds. I mean, who knows? With that kind of power, with access to the quantum realm, and listen, I'm dumbing it down a lot. I realize that there's a lot of other things in play, but just try to wrap your head around that.
So this is what OpenAI is trying to accomplish.
Yes. And a lot of other places. And the thing is, let me ask you this question, because I think it's a really interesting one. Mm-hmm. Right? We turn that thing on. It says hello. It spends a week on itself. What is it now? Because it's going to have the answers to everything. Everything, dude. You know, immortality, how large is the universe, you know, is string theory real, time travel, like it'll have it all. Like it'll just have it. So, and this is not just me being like conspiracy theory crazy.
Right. This is
Elon Musk believes this.
So basically God.
Well, for lack of a better term, like it's not God because it's not the creator.
Right.
But it will be as powerful.
Right. If you. I'm not going to get into a religious conversation, but a God, then.
That's what I would describe. That's right. What I would say. That's what I have said many times is a God. And the thing is it one of the good ones or one of the bad ones?
Well, right? I guess if you know, if you Hollywood has tackled that from, you know, from the beginning, it's like, you know, at some point they'll the master computer will realize that, you know, we're the parasite and we need to be wiped out for its own intent, for its own good.
Not only that, let's say it wants to help us. Does it do that by culling 50% of the population?
Potentially.
I think that's a total reality. But there's a flip side to that coin, is that it would have those answers. It would tell us how to solve cancer. It would tell us how to, it would be a radical cultural shift because it would tell us how to create food and water and like all this stuff that we need to survive.
Leave the planet.
And we wouldn't need to work anymore. It would destroy the economy and all, and in the same time, it would create this new utopia, which would probably be some form of socialism, but it would just be like everybody has everything, sort of. It's kind of like Star Trek, where you can just push a button and have whatever you want.
Yeah, like, well, you know, and I think while that the thing you're talking about is not impossible, and it's something that could, you know, happen in our lifetimes.
It could.
Right.
They have cars that drive themselves now.
They do, but you know, and the funny thing is they get into accidents, and you know, who knows if it's the fault of the machine or if it's human error that pulls in front of that car. But I think it's a while before people trust that.
Dude, I was listening to Rogan's podcast the other day, and it was a dude on who owns a Tesla who has a it has an autopilot on it, and he gets on the highway and clicks the button, and kicks back.
Yeah,
sweet does.
Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, the forms of AI that we see now, and I said Siri, which is you know, low level when you're talking about, you know, what's possible. But you know, you can pull your car up and hit the button, and your car will parallel park itself.
Yep.
You know, that's the kind of thing that we see every day. And one of the, I can't remember what stupid movie it was, but the movie where, I think it was called Scanners, where people just
Home. Yeah, it was Scanners, yeah.
People just sit at home and they're clones or whatever.
No, it wasn't Scanners. It was the Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Where they had a person out there.
Right, everybody just kind of sits and they're all fat and, you know, out there, their doppelganger goes, if you will.
So I think that's another fascinating aspect of all this technology is that there's going to be a lot of really good, awesome things that come out of it. There could be some bad. I think that at some point we have a legit robot overlord. I don't know that it would be bad, but it'll be a fair, logical machine that will do things that aren't crazy like Trump or Hillary Clinton, or like it would just... Yeah, you know, it would just do stuff that was like it would take all this input and be like, all right, you guys are stupid. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, like you said, you know, maybe the best thing for the planet and global warming and all those things, whether you believe in it or not, we can't judge. There's a lot of people out there. Yeah. Well, you can judge, but you can't tell people what to think and expect them to change.
Nope.
That's part of the problem. If people would just listen to us, they'd be all right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they won't.
No. Well, they can may listen to us, but they won't.
You know. I feel you, bro.
So anyway, there was a point there. Anyway,
yeah.
What the hell was it?
I don't know. We're talking about you know, robot overlords and
yeah. If the robot overlord says, okay, well, you know, yes, the planet is heating up, and you know, yes, I think that humans' consumption of fossil fuels is the reason for that, and I think the best way to keep that from happening is. We need to get rid of 25% of the population today.
Yeah, see, that's what's scary. And dude, not only that, it might not even care about us at all. It might be Dr. Manhattan. It's just like, meh.
Yeah.
You know, they're like ants. Or not even ants, man. They're like single-cell organisms. Like, it would be so... We cannot fathom how intelligent this thing would be. We can't understand it. Our brains are not big enough. Our best scientific minds could not remotely come close to understanding something that intelligent.
Right. So you think about that guy, okay? That person or that woman that guy or that woman who's sitting there, you know, trying to fathom this, and they're a hell of a lot closer than you and I are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you and I are relatively intelligent people, but there's people a lot smarter than us, and there's a lot of people that are a lot dumber than us, you know?
I don't know.
Well, maybe.
You're pretty dumb, so.
I'm smarter than the average bear.
I'm just fucking with you, man.
I know you're a prick. You know, so imagine the average person and how they can not fathom that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, you know, you take that and you go, okay, well, that average person who sees the driverless car and, you know, they're going to be all in for that, you know, being completely dependent mm-hmm. upon machines. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of people that are dependent upon, you know, machines now.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think we all are.
Yeah. Try to put your phone down for a day.
Yeah, I think we all are. And I think it's a scary thing. It's a wonderful and a scary thing at the same time. It's like everything. When new technology comes up, right, it greatly increases life well-being, I would say. It's a more engrossing term than just like in knowledge or whatever. Like it's just... But we have this culture now where we have friends that we've never met, and you know we're more connected than ever. We have access to all this information. You know, I've told this story before on my bike, I think. But you know, when I was 11 years old for Christmas, I got Encyclopedia Britannica, and one came a month for the next year. And I was an only child who lived in a fucking stupid trailer park.
So only one came a month?
One came a month. It was 12 issues.
Oh, so there was more than one letter per issue.
Some of them would be like WV.
Okay,
would
I got
be
you.
One. Yeah.
I was like, well, would your parents only get you the no, first 12? No, it's
just the way Time Life did it.
So if you had something that started with W, you were fucked.
Yeah, I guess. But I read them cover to cover because I had nothing else to do.
Right.
I was bored to death. And that was the extent of my knowledge of the world. And I remember specifically there was an entry on the Loch Ness Monster that left it sort of ambiguous, right? And I didn't know until much later in my life that was total shit. You know, I had no idea. I thought it was like
it was
factual.
Out there, right?
Yeah, because it didn't say that it was out there, but it was like, there's some evidence. I mean, there's a photo and there's like some stuff.
And that's still true to this day. There's some evidence, there's a photo, and there's some stuff.
Yeah, but it's really low. Like the possibilities that there's something in that lake, right?
I guarantee you there's something in that lake. Is it a prehistoric monster?
You know what I mean?
It's a beaver.
Right. It's something like yeah, or something like that. But that was the extent of my knowledge then. And my children and your children, Kevin, and those of you out there who have children, they have grown up in the world with access to everything. Every bit of, like almost all of human knowledge, probably all, is online somewhere.
Right.
Right. And accessible to every single person on the planet. Barring, you know,
well, if you have a connection
in war-torn areas, right. And you know, well, here's super poor.
Earlier today, I was watching a Ron White comedy show.
Sure,
go figure.
Yeah,
and in that, he was talking about that when he was a kid, you know, his main source of information was his mother.
Right.
You know, so if you wanted to know something, or you know, probably your father. Hey, why is the sky blue?
You know.
And your father was like, well, you know, reflection in the air and the, you know, the whole thing, you know, water vapor, and, right? All that, you know, and you're like, well, why? And your father was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So if your parents didn't know, and that was really, you know, I grew up, you know, I was a kid in the 70s for Christ's
sake.
So if you did, yeah, I'm really old. So
you
if your parents didn't know, and
pussies,
you know,
pussies were hairy back then.
What was that?
Pussies were hairy back
then. They were. And in the 80s.
I'm just kidding.
I know. Coughing bastard.
I'm still a little sick.
Yeah. So if you didn't know, and he says you had to go to the library, which was a building you had to go to.
Physically.
Yeah,
you had to roll up in that bitch. Right?
And you had to figure out the Dewey Decimal System and find the piece of knowledge.
Man, I totally forgot about that until you just mentioned it. God,
the piece of knowledge that you needed, you had to track it down with the Dewey Decimal System, the author's name, and the name of the book.
And not only that. You had to hope it was there in the right spot.
Right, that's what he said.
Not already checked out.
If you get there and the piece of knowledge you need isn't there, you had to go to the librarian and say, I want this piece of knowledge. And the librarian can say, it's not here. Well, when will it be back? Well, you know, somebody else has it and they have it and they can have it for a month for a nickel.
Right.
You know, so he's like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Now you got this, which is I'm holding up my iPhone.
Yep. Which has far more computing power than Apollo 13 mission did.
Right. And, you know, you can look up anything.
Yeah, anything.
And you can also see porn on this.
That was where I was going. So it's funny you said that because that's where I was going. You know, there's a comedian that said this. I don't know who it was.
When I was a kid, I had to rely on my father's stack of Playboys. It was under the bed.
No, but That's funny. That's true.
I kind of did.
I mean, the comedian that I was going to talk about. You were just saying that verbatim. I mean, or
anecdotally.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's true. Me too. You know, I can remember some kids brought over one of their dad's porno VHS tapes one time, and I was probably like 10. They threw it in the VCR, and I was so confused. I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Right.
There's a bunch of weird stuff going on, you know?
And you were what, how old?
I was 10. I was 10 years old. Right. There was an older kid in the neighborhood, a chick, who used to babysit me, and she brought it over. We all watched it. Probably a little weird, but I wasn't complaining. You know, that's the extent of knowledge, right? Now, dude, kids just, there's just anal everywhere.
Right.
And you know, a buddy of mine that I worked with, his son had a PSP, and I used to jailbreak him. And he brought it into me. And when I went into the PSP, I found in every single folder on the PSP the same video file because the kid didn't know where to put it. So he just copied it to every single folder on it until he could eventually watch it. And it was, I'm going to be very explicit here, it was cum swapping sluts, right? And I just thought to myself, he's 13 or 14 or something. This fucking kid, he's got access to this. I remember I found a dirty mag like in a wilderness area, like we were walking through the woods or something.
Right.
And I found one. It was all eaten up by time and like
and bugs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And dude, I flipped through that motherfucker. Like I was like, holy shit. And it just had a couple pictures in it. Right. This guy's watching at 14. Right. He's watching C-swapping sluts. And I was like, oh my God. And I told him about it. And he's like, ha ha, you know, I'll talk to him. And he talked to his boy and it's not a big deal, like whatever. Right. But that's what they have access to now. Now let's get back into this whole thing because that's the future of entertainment, pal. And are you cheating? And are you living in your own life? If you can have a perfect 10 all the time, anytime you want to do whatever you want, without repercussion, without guilt, without the need for any kind of giving back to that thing. And it doesn't have to be a female, male.
Not emotionally, right. It can be anything.
It could be a My Little Pony. It could be a freaking television character. It could be a character you design. It could be anything that you're into. Anything at all, right?
I'm going to – see, that's an interesting thing.
It is.
Well, because here's the thing.
Like, dude, hold on. One second. If you had a holodeck, right, like Star Trek Next Generation, you have a holodeck. Is the first thing you're doing is going back and being a detective? No. You're rolling in that bitch. You're dialing up Baywatch, and you're banging everybody.
Baywatch? Dude, Natalie Portman and ScarJo are going to be there. You know what
dude.
I mean?
Yeah, I would be in that weird ballerina movie with Mila
Kunis.
And
well, two things. First thing, Dennis Miller said this years ago that, you know, eventually, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, eventually you're going to be able to bang Jenna Jameson for $9.99 an hour.
Right.
And it's going to make, you know, crack cocaine look like, you know, low grade coffee. You know,
that's a good joke. He said that?
Yeah. And that's the second funny. Thing is, like I said, I paraphrase, but yeah, that was
good.
The point.
That's good.
But the second thing is, you know, there are people in this world with really bizarre and in a lot of cases illegal, you know, sexual deviance. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you can satisfy those deviations,
might be a good thing.
Through computer simulation,
yep.
No crimes are committed.
Mm-hmm.
And that person's, you know, drive is met.
First of all, they'll make it illegal. Number one, they will because that's what they do. Right. But I completely agree with you. Imagine a serial killer who doesn't really want to kill people. He doesn't want to get in trouble, but he has this drive. Right. And I'm not calling him a good guy. He's an asshole. You know, he should probably burn at the stake. But he can satisfy all those desires in a computer simulation and then go about his day and his business and not be a danger to society.
Right.
Like, is that not a better world?
You have to think.
And not only that, he can do it as much as he wants because there's no risk.
Right.
He can do it all the time. Right. There's a pedophile who can go into this thing and do his thing. Right. A priest, middle-aged man,
normal person.
I just watched Spotlight, so I don't know if you saw that yet.
I haven't
seen it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's one really, movie of the year.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah, I watched it like 2 weeks ago and I was floored by it. But, you know, they can go into that environment, right? It's totally fake. It's not real. They can satisfy those desires and come back out and be the people that they need to be in the real world.
And actually not ruining the lives not of hurt any child.
Anyone at all,
yeah.
Ever, right? But then I have to imagine that if those environments get too real, there would be advocates that come out that say that those people are kind of real too. Like, it's just, it's a total thing.
The whole thing. You know, when you're talking about artificial intelligence, as humans, is it ethical at all to create intelligent life? And does that mean we're trying to play God?
No. So that's not an ethical thing. I don't believe that. What I believe we're trying to do is we've recognized that we have the ability now to create something that can answer every question for us. And it might be that the, you know, answer to everything in life or whatever it was from the Hitchhiker's Guide is 42. Was it 42? I think it was 42. Whatever. I mean, it might be, it's 42, you know. Yeah. And it might be something stupid like that. It probably will be a super gradual process. But if we ever hit the point where we hit quantum computing, it's going to be exponential and it's going to be really scary. And we're going to have to keep that thing in under wraps. And the thing that scares people like Elon Musk is that humans are arrogant enough to create really horrific things. We create biological weapons. We create nuclear weapons. We create all these really horrific things under the guise that we can control how they're used. But the fact that we would create a super intelligent being and assume under our, infinite arrogance, I guess, that we could somehow contain or control that is just absurd. It's
the same arrogance that makes humankind think that we're alone in the universe as far as intelligent beings go.
Well, what about the, whatever paradox, paradox. I'll have to effort the name. I'll give it to you in just a minute.
The what?
Like, everybody's going to know what we're talking about. But there's a famous scientist who came up with this, and it's his paradox. It basically says that, yes, there are these stars and all these planets and all these things out there. And yes, intelligent life should exist. But if it does, where is everybody?
What do you mean, where is everybody?
Where are they? If they exist, and if they do,
Fermi paradox.
Fermi, thank you. The Fermi paradox. So if they do exist, right, you would have to assume that some of them developed way before us.
Yeah.
Right? And they would be like way, way, way more intelligent and more powerful than we are, and they would have ships and way to fold space-time.
Maybe they have a prime directive.
Maybe they do. I mean, that's a possibility. Yeah. But the Fermi paradox states, and it's a very fascinating thing to me, because I believe with you. I believe you, and I believe in aliens, too. Like, I believe that they must exist somewhere. That there's just not intelligence. You know, we can go back and forth whether there are intelligent species out there. But bacteria's got to exist, right? It has to. The intelligent thing is interesting, and that's where Fermi comes in. He says, listen, man, maybe intelligence is like a special thing. Maybe life is super common, but intelligence is what is different. But you would have to imagine, though, that if bacteria even existed on a dozen planets in our galaxy, there would have to be millions of civilizations.
Well,
somewhere.
And when we talk about, life couldn't exist there, we're talking about we couldn't exist there.
Right, us. And we've proven that wrong, too. The extremophiles and stuff that live in acid pools next to fucking, lava pits and stuff. Like, I mean, we've just proven over and over and over again. We didn't think that life could exist away from the sun way beneath the ocean, but now we've proven that that's not true.
Right.
Like, it exists everywhere. And I have to believe it has permeated the universe. Like, it's just everywhere. Just everywhere.
Well, you know, I saw the other day some on the online, so you know it was true.
Of course,
you know it was a great big, like, say a dinner plate size galaxy. This is the largest known galaxy that we've been able to discover, and the Milky Way is the size of a pinhead by comparison.
Right.
Okay, so you know, Oh, you have a Guinness over there. Look at
you.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's spilling.
It is.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Good thing this is a IKEA table.
Well, it's a...
You might want to go take care of them.
I cracked it, man. It's just, you know.
Anyway.
Your wife gave me some Clorox wipes.
Oh, look at that. So, you know, the thing about it is, you know, there might be all kinds of intelligent life out there, you know, so far away that we can't fathom that distance, all right? And why in the hell would they come to this planet to check us out?
Well, so that's the other thing. We just might not be interesting. They just might be like, we'll come back in, like, you know, 500,000 years.
Well, you know, they see, you know, explosions and pollution, and they go, these people aren't worth checking out. Or they're checking us out from such a distance to say, you know, maybe one of these days if they get their heads out of their asses, they may be worth, you know, discussing.
This is why I don't believe in alien abduction or aliens visiting the planet or anything like that.
Well, if you're an X-Files fan, you know that's really our government abducting people.
I would assume it is. No, but I don't believe in that kind of stuff because I don't think that – I think that aliens got better stuff to do than to, like, come stick stuff in our butts.
Well,
unless that's their thing. Maybe that's their thing. They're just like,
they're just making ATM videos.
I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna get me a human today and I'm gonna bring them back up.
Well, there's also a school of thought which I think is not impossible. It's improbable, but it's not impossible. Is that, you know, it's a multidimensional thing and these ships are coming back and they're us. You know, 70,000 years in the future.
Totally possible. The movie Sphere was based on that.
Yeah, there you go.
Really cool flick, by the way.
Really cool book.
Was it? Yeah. I never read the book.
Great book.
So I think that's an interesting point. I think that it's worth considering that there are things out there and there are, but this is where I'm going to get really bizarre on you, Kevin.
Oh, just now?
Yeah, just now.
All right.
So we talked a lot about AI and computer simulation and all
Jenna
those.
Jenna Jameson.
And yeah. All that kind of stuff.
ATM.
So do you think that we'll get to a point at some point in human history that we'll be able to create an environment that is matrix-like to the human mind that you would not be able to tell the difference between reality and a computer environment?
If they harness the power of quantum computing, where the amount of memory, because it would take a huge amount of memory to accomplish that. But quantum computing would allow for that and more. Then I think it's possible. Our lifetimes, probably
no,
not.
You said possible. You did.
I did.
Okay. So allow me to blow your head off. Okay. There's a guy by the name of Hans Moravec.
Hans.
Sorry. He's Hans Solo Moravec. And Nick Bostrom later picked this up, and he's kind of the guy that populated. Or popularized this theory, rather.
Yeah, right.
And Nick basically says that three things must be true. One of three things must be true. Human civilization is unlikely to reach that technological maturity, is what he calls it, technological maturity, to produce those simulated realities. So you just said you don't think that's true. Like, eventually, that we'll be able to do it.
I think it's possible that it could happen.
Right. So, either we're unlikely, or that civilization would not produce those kinds of things, because they get bored with it. They don't care. Like, they would just go, we're just going to do other stuff. Right? So, either we just don't make it there, either because, like, we just die out or something. You know what I mean? Or we just get bored with it. We just would rather build food or explore the universe or something like that. Or, number three.
We're already in it.
We're almost certainly in it. We're almost certainly not real. We're almost certainly, and there's like a 99.99999 computed, like it's just almost a certainty that we're in a simulated reality right now. And you don't exist. I don't exist. We're all in this reality because... If one society reaches that point where they create a reality, right, they wouldn't just create one. They'd create a bunch of them so they could visit all sorts of timelines, right? They would want to go back to the 1940s and visit the World Wars. They would want to go back and see the dinosaurs. They would want to go into the future and watch the first...
Doctor Who.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. But eventually, they would create those realities that were so real that the entities within those realities would create their own. And so on and so forth. So it's an exponential, like, inception of realities. and there's almost no certain reality.
Yeah, that seems, see, that seems much more far-fetched than the possibility of it happening in the future.
Okay, but if it happens in the future, there's, it's almost certain that it's already happened and you're living in one. If it does happen, there's almost 100% chance that you're living in one. There's almost 100% chance.
I'd have to read more about
you. You must
that
read
it, that if it can theory. Happen at all, it's already happened.
It's kind. That's kind of it. Yeah, I mean, it's possible that this would be the first time it happened. It's certainly possible, but if you think about how many times it could happen, like in the infinite void that is. I mean, we know the universe is 4 billion years old, or the Earth is 4 billion years old, right? That's the world we know,
right?
But if we're in a simulated reality, that could have already happened 100 trillion times, or maybe even way, way more than that. Like that to the 10 to the 6th to the, like, whatever. Like, it's just, these are numbers that are almost impossible to fathom. And that doesn't mean that you're not a person, right?
As defined by that.
I mean,
that existence. Well, the thing about it is I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I told you I was gonna fuck your mind up.
Can I hop off to another existence?
I mean, go ahead.
Because a world that
like you can change anything about yourself, really. I mean, we have rules in this world, but you know, just like in the Matrix, if it's a computer simulation, there must be ways around it. You know, and maybe that's what some of this so-called psychic phenomena and stuff like that is about.
Ghosts?
Maybe it's weird stuff. Maybe it's aberrations in the code, or, you know, some fucking glitch, or like whatever it is. I'm not saying that that's real. I'm not saying that. I'm not claiming that at all. I have my own, suspicions about simulation theory and like a lot of the other things that are brought up by Nick Bostrom, but it is a fascinating thing to think about if you go down that rabbit hole, because undoubtedly a lot of that stuff, like with people that are claiming psychic or, you know, paranormal stuff, like I would guess that the overwhelming majority of it is BS, like super high percentage. However, there are some stuff that comes up from time to time that I can't explain, that people can't explain, that, you know, I kind of wonder about, and this would explain it.
Right.
You know? So I start to wonder, well, maybe that's it. Like, I'm not a conspiracy guy. You know that. We've talked many of those. I don't believe in any of them.
You think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone?
I think he shot Kennedy. Yeah, I do. I 100% believe that. I do. I 100% believe it. I know that, and believe me, I'm as fascinated by the story as everybody else.
Yeah, I saw...
But when I look at the evidence...
I saw a documentary... We're actually really just tangenting now, but...
Okay.
I saw a documentary the other day about... I say the other day, it was a few months ago, but... that there's ballistic evidence that it was a mistaken shot from a CIA or a Secret Service agent in the trailing car.
I've heard that, too.
That actually makes kind of sense with the way things went.
But there's more than one shot, though. So,
well, yeah, Oswald shot, okay. To be sure.
So the one that killed Kennedy was...
Right, Oswald shot, and the agent turned, and he had a gun, and just inadvertently fired off the shot.
That
would kind of
make sense, that's a hell of a shot by Oswald. I've played that JFK game.
Yeah.
And have you ever played it?
Yeah, it's not doable. It's
fucking impossible to kill him like that.
But
I'll
turn the show. It's amazing.
What is it?
I can't remember. I'll have to look at it.
Oh, okay.
It's on Netflix.
JFK Unloaded was the name of the game, which I know is like highly controversial.
Controversial?
But it was a fascinating... What I loved about it was the after-action report, where they would bring up like the trajectory of all the bullets, where they bounced. Like, and you could actually analyze that and see how difficult it would be to make those three shots.
With a bolt action
40-year-old rifle. Now, again, we're doing a computer simulation of that event, and probably not everything's 100% accurate, and, you know, trajectory, wind speed, all that kind of stuff. They tried to dial it in, but who knows their physics engine and all that kind of stuff.
Plus, you get to do it over and over until you get it, quote-unquote, perfect. Going. Right.
Oswald hit it the first time. Not allegedly. He killed Kennedy. I totally believe that, man.
I'll show you this other thing.
All right, but he wouldn't have fucking shot the cop. I mean, you know.
Well, he did shoot at Kennedy, and I think he actually did hit him with the quote-unquote magic bullet. Basically. And it explains how that bullet's not magic at all. It explains the position
of
the
seats. I've seen some really, really convincing physics arguments that the bullet could have totally come from behind and done what it did.
Right. So this documentary I'm talking about talks about how the seat that, you know, that Connolly was in wasn't exactly in the center, and it was actually a straight shot because Connolly was kind of turned.
I've seen that too.
And all that. So, yeah. it wasn't a magic bullet that made a left and all that kind of stuff. It was a straight shot just based on where everybody was sitting.
Back.
He fired that.
And to the left. Back.
And to the
to
left.
The left.
I love that movie. But it's all bullshit.
It's a great fucking movie.
I love that movie because it was such a great Kevin Bacon, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon movie. Because everybody was in it.
I know, yeah.
So anyway, but basically if you watch this, you go, okay, well, at least that's reasonable. That's a reasonable explanation for how that happened.
Sure. I hear you. I don't know how we got on Kennedy and Oswald, how we get there. Anyway. I just wanted to point out that you know, all these things that we worry about on a day-to-day basis, right? Like job and our family and their culture and all that, like whatever it is, money, like whatever the fuck it is, it really doesn't matter, man. It really doesn't
Nobody
matter.
Gets out alive, man.
We all die. The worst thing that's ever going to happen to me would be my children dying. And it's totally going to happen. And I'm not going to be able to stop it ever. There's no way I can fucking stop it. It's going to happen.
All you can hope for is that you're dead by the time it happens.
That I'm dead first. Yeah. That's all I can hope for, which is a really morbid way to approach stuff. So I think that we ought to sit back and relax and kind of try to enjoy things a little bit and not pay so much attention to all that bullshit that's day to day. Live in the moment, man, because, you know, our robot overlords are coming. And they're either going to fix everything or they're going to fucking kill us all. There's nothing we can do about it. So sit back, smoke a blunt if you're in Colorado. you know what I mean? Just like, you know, I just feel like that this is a turning point in history that is going to allow us to either die out immediately or live the lives that we're meant to live. What do you think?
I like the idea.
Yeah. I mean, it really could solve a lot of problems. And I love the idea of...
people are way too high strung for that.
999 Jenna Jameson sounds pretty good.
I don't know. Yeah, well, you know...
Insert, you know, tranny for you here. Like, whatever. I'm not judging.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You said earlier you do judge.
Well, I judge other people. I wouldn't judge you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. If I did, I would hate you.
Why?
Because you're a terrible person.
Am I really?
No.
See, I think I'm an all right guy.
You're okay.
I have a few regrets, things I would change in my past if
really?
I could.
Like what?
A couple. Yeah. Well, nothing major.
Oh.
You know.
I probably have a few too. Why don't you guys reflect on that as well?
I mean, there was that one chick I'd have banged and I didn't.
I have a lot of those in high school.
Yeah. Oh, I had one in adulthood.
Oh, really?
Young adulthood, yeah. But, you know, out of high school type thing. But it was like, you know what? It's like I was looking on Ask Men subreddit on Reddit the other day about, you know, what regrets do you have in life of a sexual nature? And, you know, the guy was people were talking about the signs were all there and the arrows are pointing to, yes, she wants to move forward with you. And I was just so stupid, I just didn't go. And that was my story. I was like 21, 22, and it was all right there. And the red signs were flashing, and I was just, for whatever reason,
see, I had a, I didn't go. I was really popular in high school. Well, I would say I wasn't like jock popular, but I was on the other side of the fence. But I was popular. And there was a bunch.
Well, you know why.
There was a bunch of fives. I do know why, but we're not going to bring that up right now. But there was a bunch of fives and sixes. They were just all out, like, what's up? Like, anytime, anywhere. And I was like, ew, you guys. And I'm totally like, what the fuck was I thinking? Yeah, I should have rolled through all that.
Yeah, you should have.
You know? And you know what? They were pretty cool, too. I used to hang out with them sometimes and stuff. I mean, you know. Listen, man. You know, and they were fives and sixes back then to me. Yeah, they're probably eights now. Yeah, if I went back and looked, I'd probably be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, there was this one girl who... you know, I knew she had a crush on me, but I just wasn't really interested for whatever reason, you know, interested in other girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I didn't see her for a few months and she came back and she just had changed. was just drop dead gorgeous. And I was like, hey, what's up? And she's like, fuck you, basically.
Yeah. You know, I had a few of those too.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Young and dumb. I was an asshole.
Lifting up car bumpers and shit. You know. Mm-hmm.
Wow, was that an hour?
Close. It's 55 minutes.
Wow.
We kind of regressed to talking about our sexual failures.
Whatever, we talked about a lot of stuff too.
Sexual failures.
Sorry, that was
JFK.
Fun.
JFK.
Robot overlords, bitches. They're coming.
Yeah. Well, or they're here already.
Or they're coming.
For $9.95 a month.
Why'd you turn that off?
I think it just kind of ended. Well, that was the 30-second opener, so I thought we were going to be done.
Well,
anyway, this is that's random for the week. we're doing this every other week now.
We might start doing it once a week. I don't know. Depends on the feedback.
So anyway, if you dig it, do us a favor, please. You can, if you have a comment on the show or anything we've said tonight, please go to Twitter at we're at YesRandom.
Yeah, or
make
better
a
yet,
comment there.
Leave it on iTunes.
Right, if you want to subscribe, and you can also leave a what's the word I'm looking for?
A star rating?
A star rating and a review. That would be great. That'd be awesome. If you think we suck, tell us that.
Tell
we just
us,
want some feedback
tell us it's awful.
To let us know what's up.
I thought it was good.
Oh, by the way, I played the outro music, but I do want to say that we solicited some ideas that we could probably touch on if you wanted to. We solicited some ideas
whatever.
For...
You want to do some random?
Well, you know...
Fuck it, man, whatever.
We said, hey,
give us some ideas. Motherfuckers. Fuck yeah.
All right, so let's see. Somebody said...
Fucking talk fucking turkey, motherfuckers.
Why was Star Wars snubbed in the Oscars?
Good question. I'll tell you why. You're not going to like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great movie.
Well, you know what? The movies, when you look at them, they should win for technical things.
It was a profitable movie. It was a very, very enjoyable movie for people like me who are Star Wars fans. But if you look at the movies that won, get out of here. I'm going to tell you right now. Did you watch? You don't have little kids. Did you watch Inside Out?
No, but I want to.
Jesus, dude, I swear to God. Watch that. It'll make you cry. It is fantastic, dude. It's fantastic.
That's what I'm after.
It was my number one movie of the year. If I had to pick one, I'd go with Inside Out. It was just unbelievably good. It's like almost like Up. Did you watch? You watched Up before?
Oh yeah.
Okay. The intro of that movie is widely regarded as the saddest beginning to a movie ever.
Wow.
You know, and it makes me cry every time I watch it. You know, that, I mean, the kid's a boy, he meets a girl, they grow up together, they love each other, all this stuff. She dies. Like I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. But I've watched it so many times because I have little kids.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people missed out on this movie because they don't have little kids. It's just a fantastic film, man. I mean, it's not only is the animation and the comedy and all that kind of stuff, it's just a really, it's fucking art, you know? It really is.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's a Pixar joint, right?
But you didn't watch it, so you don't know.
Well, I did watch Up.
But as far as Star Wars is concerned,
I didn't watch the other one.
I would tell you it's because it wasn't a great film.
Popular, not great.
Popular, super profitable, but not a great movie.
So let's see, one of the other things, suggestions was burning dog shit and the human response.
It's always to stomp it out.
Generally.
Yeah.
Therein lies the joke. Mm. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't put the dog shit in the bag and light it on fire, but I did one year. My mother used to make these giant friggin' biscuits, right?
Ooh.
And I asked my buddy James.
His mom could cook like a motherfucker,
she
man.
She cooked chicken.
She made fried chicken one time. Holy shit.
Just melt in your mouth. Anyway, she made these biscuits, and they were massive, dude. They were like 5 inches across, right?
Wow. Like a softball.
So I had my buddy Jamie over. No relation, no reason, the same name as my son. But
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so he was over
at
my house.
That relationship that one summer.
And my father had these, had a jar.
Maybe we should do this every time. Just answer the Twitter questions after. Like this.
He had a jar of firecrackers. They were all old and shit, but they still worked. So we took this biscuit and we jammed like 10 firecrackers in the side of it and took
God.
A long fuse. Tied them all together in this long fuse and kind of draped to the side. And across the street from my house, there was a field.
And that's how young Timothy McVeigh got started.
And it had tall grass growing in it. So we lit the long fuse on my neighbor's house, put it on my neighbor's front porch, lit the fuse, busted, ran ass over to the field.
So you put a biscuit bomb on your neighbor's porch.
Yeah. And then she's passed now, so it's okay.
Terrorist.
Statute of limitations has expired.
I'm pretty sure on terrorism that doesn't exist, pal.
Anyway, so it was perfect the way it worked out because she didn't open the door, but her son did. It was kind of a douchebag.
Oh,
so wow. Just as it started to go off, you know, the interior door opens up and you see the kid's face, and he doesn't see anybody, and it started going off. Oh, blam, and biscuits started going everywhere.
Oh my God!
And we didn't get caught, but I'm surprised because we were giggling so hard.
I have a similar story that's not, that's probably way worse, but I was a bit of a thug back in the day. Not really, but I had sort of a reputation for being a little bit crazy. I wasn't. I was a totally rational human being.
Yeah, you're quite the pussy.
But that's how you survive in high school. Anyway, this dude came to my house, and he was extremely high on cocaine. Extremely high on cocaine. And he came into my bedroom, and he had been sort of talking shit about me earlier that day. And I was just, like, joking around with him, you know. When he came in, I was like, hey, man, you been talking shit, man? You know, what's up? And, you know, he was like, oh, no, man. You know, he's wide-eyed because he's super high on cocaine. And we were just chilling, playing video games and stuff. And my buddy told me, he was like, hey, man, why don't you get your piece, man? So I was like, oh, yeah. I forgot I had a pellet gun. Right. I didn't have any pellets, but it had CO2 cartridges in it. So I grabbed it out. Right. And I'm like, oh, dude, what's up, man? And he's like, no, man. I do nothing. No, man. And so I pulled it out and I just pulled the trigger right in front of him. And the air just tapped him really lightly in the chest. I have never seen. It would have been the best Hollywood death scene you've ever seen. The guy spread his arms out wide, sort of like Romeo. And fell backwards, in, almost in slow motion, onto my bed. Like, he was just like, dude, he fell down the pillow. And of course, and we had been smoking marijuana. So everybody in there's like five people in my room. We were dying, just dying laughing. And he kind of waits a second, and he sits up, and he goes, hey, man, I need to leave.
Yeah, because he had to go clean his drawers out.
And he got up and left. But we're good friends now, and, you know, it's cool. It was just a funny practical joke. But seriously, it is the most dramatic moment I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, it just was, he literally believed that I would shoot him, you know, in my room over him saying something about lunch. I don't even remember. It was something stupid. But, yeah, it's just brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Well, it's amazing, you know, like Rick James said, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It is. Dude, and he was extremely high on cocaine, had I mentioned that.
Brian Lyon says, if Joe Flacco's eating a hot dog, is it an elite sandwich?
I mean, I think depending on the hot dog, it always is an elite
sandwich. If it's a Nathan's?
Oh, dude.
Or a Sabrette's.
Or a Deer Park.
Deer dog. Deer Park hot dog.
Jesus.
Not Deer Park hot dog. It's
it's deer whatever.
Deer head hot dog.
Deer head.
If you're not from Delaware and you're traveling through, deer head hot dogs are good. You get the double.
You gotta get the double, yeah.
And there's some sort of chili sauce.
It's a sauce. It's a salsa chili combo thing.
It's kind of a hot sauce.
Yeah, so that's why I mean salsa. Yeah, it's
right. But they also put mustard on it.
Yeah,
and you
can't have a hot dog with no mustard.
Yeah, I know. You eat one of these, and no mistake, you're going to taste it for the entire day.
Oh yeah, you're beefing it up.
But it's a thing of beauty.
It's a fantastic dog.
You got to have that deer head hot dog.
Deer head's amazing. Although, I've had some hot dogs on the street in New York that were, you know, hand
soaked
to God.
In toilet water.
Some of the best things I've ever tasted. They might have been, but it was awesome.
All right, Paul says Deadpool.
Yeah, you want to talk Deadpool?
Well, I think we could probably do a whole show about Deadpool.
We could,
but we're just going to give three, in our case, six massive thumbs up.
Yeah, it just was a fantastic film, and I love. Here's the thing about Deadpool. I love the fact that they were able to make so much money from an R-rated feature. It just
opens up the future.
It changes the world.
Lyle and I were talking about this. Imagine the Punisher done the way it should
Spawn.
Be done. Yeah,
and apparently Todd McFarlane just released a script. He just sent a script in for Spawn, done the right way. Listen, the old Spawn movie wasn't horrible, and Leguizamo as the clown was really a fantastic choice.
Yeah,
he did really good. But it could be, I mean, with today's technology, to do
higher budgets.
Deadpool's budget wasn't huge, 50 mil, something like that. But dude, to do Spawn like that. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the old HBO series, the animated series for Spawn, and it was totally rated R.
So well written.
Super. It's fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. It is so good, man. Imagine if they brought that to the big screen. Fuck. Really?
To be honest with you, yeah. The animated superhero stuff is the best. The best superhero
Speaking
stuff.
Speaking of movies, I don't know. It just reminded me of this. Did you see Dark Tower? Come on.
You know what? I'm setting myself up for disappointment on that though, because
it's
not
starting in the middle.
Well, it's starting in the middle of the book, but they're not talking about making a bunch of them. They're talking about making one of them.
Here's the thing: they're going to. They're going to.
They
haven't talked about how many books or what they're going to go through. There's no way they could do 7 books in one movie. They can't.
Right. I know.
They can't. But, dude.
They should do 8 movies like they did Harry Potter. You know, they're.
I said that, too. And you know what? Somebody came back with a really intelligent response. They said, you know what? They would make a lot of money, but those movies were not nearly as good as the books.
They weren't.
If they did 3 Dark Tower movies and did them right, it'd be the best trilogy ever.
Yeah, fair
enough.
And
they're not fucking wrong, because if you haven't read The Dark Tower, then you suck, but you should,
right?
Because it's just fucking fascinating.
All right, also Paul says, best cut of steak.
I like to go with the New York Strip.
I have 3. I hate New York Strip.
I love them.
You got to go with the Tenderloin.
Tenderloin's good.
You got to go with the Delmonico.
Delmonico is fantastic.
And you also have to go with the hanger steak. Hanger steak.
I don't know about hanger steak. I don't think
hanger steak is off the shoulder, but it's a very tender. Ribeye is good. Well, Delmonico and ribeye are basically the same thing.
Delmonico is a better cut than a ribeye, though, right?
Well, it's just from one end or the other is all.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that. Yeah.
Right. So it's rib. It's basically a prime rib is what Delmonico is.
That's right.
Or ribeye.
Right.
So anyway. Also, the hanger steak, though, is a cheaper cut of steak, but it's from a tender part of the shoulder, where if it's prepped right and cooked right, it's awesome.
I've gotten mine down to a science now.
Yeah, me too.
Do Italian dressing and meat tenderizer and beat the shit out of it. Soak it in Italian dressing for half an hour. Sear both sides. Stick it right in the oven with my cast iron thing. Right in the oven for 5 minutes. Done.
There you go.
Pink in the middle.
Would you ever skydive?
Yeah, I would. I would be scared as hell when I did it, but when I landed, I would feel really good about myself.
I wouldn't do it on purpose.
Okay.
Have you ever traveled Europe?
No.
I've been out of the United States once, twice actually.
I never have.
Both to the Bahamas.
Yeah. Never have been out of the U.S.
Is that it? I believe that to be.
All right. This could be a fun...
Oh, there was one more. I'm sorry.
Okay. This could be a fun thing.
Whether or not you guys wanted Bradford to stay. This is Kevin.
We both talked about this. We both wanted him to stay. I think they gave him too much money. But given the free agency alternatives out there, I think they did a good job securing him for 2 years.
Actually, it's 1 year with an option for a second.
With an option for a second. So I think it actually is a really, really smart move.
I'm happier starting the season with him than I would have been without him.
Yeah, I think they lose anyway, but the division's so weak. If they get a run going, maybe, who knows, right? And I think he's good enough. Like, he's Flacco-ish. He's good enough to win a Super Bowl. He's never going to be Tom Brady. So let's not fool ourselves in thinking he's a franchise.
Most players aren't going to be Tom Brady.
He's never going to be, I don't know, Alex Smith. Even.
Well, maybe.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will.
Well, you don't think he's going to be as good as Alex Smith?
No, I think he'll make mistakes and he'll do things. I think Alex Smith is a better quarterback.
I think you have a very inflated opinion of Alex Smith.
He's a game manager and does what he needs to do to win football games. That's what he does.
How many Super Bowl rings he have?
None. How many freaking Sam Bradford have?
Well, exactly. That's my point. I think they're just as good as each other right now.
No, I think that's a weird...
More on this later at the Fantasy Football Guys show in a week.
That's a weird way to put it.
So,
are we officially going to end it now?
I think so.
Hey!
We really mean it this time, but I like the idea of
kind of
addressing this. So that's random for the week. We'll be back in at least 2, or at most 2. Maybe we'll do this next week. Who knows? But anyway. All right. Have a good week. And make sure you tweet us at YesRandom.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. See you, bitches.
Leave us, subscriptions and likes and stuff on iTunes reviews. Bitches.
That'd be cool. Thanks.